Hey, listeners, thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon, be there. What's shaking, wrestling fans? It is Monday, June 9th. We just finished watching this evening's edition of Monday Night Raw, and it is time for us to go live, as we always do on Mega Powers Radio, for our Raw post-show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. A panel of hosts from across the entire Mega Powers network will be here giving our thoughts and opinions, but throughout the entire night, we'll be inviting you guys to join the conversation as well. A little bit about how you'll be able to do that in just a second, but first, introducing everyone here with us tonight. First off, I'll be the host of this show. I am the station director here at Mega Powers Radio. My name is Mike Payton. With me this evening, the Bounce House Prince, the leader of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, hey. Drew?
Nah, not much. How are you doing, Mr. Payton?
Absolutely tremendous. Apparently very happy, according to the feedback I'm getting about the advertisement I played at the beginning.
I'm Rootin' Tootin' Payton.
That's me. Also with us, the host of Unanimous Decision MMA and Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven?
Hey, I'm good. And yeah, you did sound way too fucking happy in that. Go back to being miserable.
Okay, I'll get to that later. And lastly with us, Mr. Tony Mango, the president of SmarkOutMoment.com, as well as FanboysAnonymous.com, and probably does way more shit than most people you know.
Yes, indeed, I do. And I think that you should be even happier.
I'm so conflicted. I'm being torn both ways. This is too much. All right, guys. So our big stories out of Raw tonight, the WWE World Heavyweight title held by Daniel Bryan. Vacated. Daniel Bryan is not going to be able to compete at Money in the Bank. In fact, we don't know when he's going to be able to compete. According to Dr. Maroon, which is an awful name to have if you're a doctor, he is not going to be able to compete for any time in the foreseeable future. However, they will continue monitoring him until he is able to go. This left Stephanie and Triple H with no other decision but to strip him of the title, hold it in abeyance. I guess they didn't want to bring back that term, or did they? I guess I missed them saying it. But we're going to decide who the champion is at Money in the Bank, in the Money in the Bank match. First time ever being decided in that match. I don't know, did they say how many people were going to have? 6 or 8, whatever the hell it is going to be.
I think I saw 7 when they put up the, you know, the.
It's a different number every year.
Well,
7, 12,
year.
Whatever. 7 again. 5, that's all good.
And that's pretty much Raw. Okay, we'll see you next week.
Well, we found out a number of who our contestants were. Randy Orton, just because he's the golden boy, automatically inserted. In fact, he wasn't even on Raw tonight. At one point, they were showing him, having tweeted a picture of him just hanging out in his bathing suit by the pool. Typical heel stuff. That was great. Alberto Del Rio, of course, earned his spot last week by defeating Dolph Ziggler. We saw Cesaro earn a spot by defeating who the hell did he defeat? Rob Van Dam in a matchup, and we saw Sheamus defeating Bad News Barrett in a match. So we have a rough idea of a number of our entries. So far, I'm not sure if any of these guys are going to be winner. If I had to sign with anybody, I guess it would be Cesaro, but I more than likely see Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns both finding themselves into that match and having the greatest chances of getting this title. But let me go around to the rest of the panel here and see what you guys think of this whole situation. Drew, why don't you start us off?
Well, you know, it sucks because, you know, almost everyone is a fan of Daniel Bryan. But, hey, you know, if he can't wrestle, he can't wrestle. And, yeah, that and also, yeah, from what I saw, apparently they already know who is going to be the new champion. I was thinking about maybe John Cena, but if now that you mentioned both Rollins and Reigns, you know, Cena's probably going to go back into another match with the Wyatts, which, oh, man, I'm just so excited for that one, like everyone else in their right mind is. So I feel bad about the situation, but it just makes me hope that there's more than one Money in the Bank match. Do something. I hate gimmick pay-per-views now because there's only one match with the actual gimmick. And I think it's stupid because I like the two Money in the Bank matches. Money in the Bank is probably my most looked forward to pay-per-view of the year besides for WrestleMania. So hopefully they can work this out in some way to make me happy.
Tony, where do you think this is going?
To hell. I think it sucks. I am not very optimistic about this. And that's not just from the whole Daniel Bryan's on the fantasy league that I am controlling thing. Even if he wasn't,
right?
Even if he wasn't, there would be so many things that I don't like about this. Being a Daniel Bryan fan, this sucks. Hopefully that's not a situation where he's going to be gone for too long or it's going to really hurt his normal life outside of wrestling or anything like that. So get that out of the way. But I have no faith this is going to end up being better than what we could have gotten, even with a standard Money in the Bank card. I like Money in the Bank, and not only are we not having too Money in the Bank matches this year where you can kind of have hopes that if they screw one up, the other one could be better. Now we're not going to have any because this isn't a Money in the Bank match anymore. It's just a ladder match for the title. So there's no year-long process where we're going to be wondering if somebody's going to cash in a title.
Yeah.
There's no real solid choices that have been set up yet to win the title because if you go with somebody like a John Cena, who the fuck cares? Nobody wants to see it anymore. If you go with somebody like Cesaro, they've done nothing to build that guy up, and he's lost so much steam since WrestleMania. What's the likelihood that they're going to make it work after this? I don't have any faith in this whatsoever, and I think that the whole card is going to suffer for it, and the whole rest of the year is going to suffer for it.
Hmm.
One of the conversations I was having with friend of the show, Chris Jester, was during the match with Sheamus and Wade Barrett, how an outcome of this was going to be one of our mid-card champions was going to be in this match, ergo not defending their title. And I was actually kind of happy when Wade Barrett didn't win because that meant we were going to have an Intercontinental title match at Money in the Bank. At least we assume we will, which is good because he's really becoming a fighting champion. He defended the title three times last week, which I don't know if enough people realized. Super awesome, and I think this reign is doing a lot for both Wade Barrett and the Intercontinental title. That's the kind of things they're going to need to fill up the rest of this card if you're having all these big-name stars go into this Money in the Bank matchup.
And who have they really set up for any of these extra matches? You're going to do a Rusev squash? Nobody cares. Adam Rose squash or something? A Bo Dallas match? They're all filler. And somebody like Bad News Barrett defending the title, he'll probably defend it against like Rob Van Dam. That's not going to sell.
Indeed. Wago, where do you see this going?
Oh, man, Daniel Bryan and the Shield break up and the product falls to shambles, and this ladder match is looking ugly as hell. Not one of the guys that are actually in the match right now have been built up to anything where I'm going to buy him as a legit champion. Orton's had no momentum because he's been steamrolled by the Shield, and rightfully so. Cesaro is pretty much halted in whatever progress he was making, and I think the Paul Heyman situation's only been a detriment to him. Alberto Del Rio, we all fucking know how I feel about him. Remember that time he lost to Sin Cara? It was pretty cool. And Sheamus I couldn't give a fuck about, never have. So right now, the Money in the Bank ladder match situation is looking ugly, and unless the Shield come in, or if someone who is a cult of personality shows up, I don't know what they're going to do because this main event looks shitty. And the worst part about this being for the title now is that we don't get that whole cash-in moment of who's going to cash in Money in the Bank. So I'm hoping that once they get this ladder match cemented and fixed in place, that we're going to get a second one announced because as it stands, fucking awful.
Do you have enough talent to fill up a second one?
I think you do, but you don't have enough talent to fill up the rest of the card then.
This is very, very true. Unless you, like, bring NXT people in or something.
Yeah.
Which might not be a bad idea. Maybe do a Money in the Bank matchup for a WWE contract with NXT guys. That would be cool.
Maybe. Shit, I wouldn't mind integrating some of the NXT guys into the card, though. It could, to be fair, they've been delivering a hell of a lot more than these Raw shows recently.
You couldn't do that, though, with the Money in the Bank thing, because you still lose out the cash-in. What are we going to be like, I'll cash in my contract today? Like,
unless they do it for the NXT title.
They could do that. I'm honestly fine taking a year off. It got really oversaturated with all those years. We had two of them, and hell, that one year we had three of them. I'm okay taking a year off. Let us miss it, and it'll be that much cooler when we have it next year.
I say fucking get rid of it altogether and just put it on Mania.
Yeah, I'm good with that, too. Let's bring back King of the Ring. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Well, we want to know what you guys think about this whole situation, too. We have the chat room open, although it's quiet. I'm guessing people just have nothing to say after this pretty lackluster Raw. But it is there. Go to blogtalkradio.com. You'll find our broadcast page with the chat room on it there. We also have our phone lines open. If you want to dial in, get yourself in line. Call in area code 760-512-7247. You could also dial in using Skype if you prefer. Just go ahead and hit the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. Moving right along for us here. One other thing I wanted to talk about in relation to the Money in the Bank matchup is I'm really happy they got to bring back that super fancy golden hook that they had created at TLC, because you didn't know if they were ever going to use that again, considering they made that one specifically for the two titles, so now we get another excuse to use it. But what if they don't actually use it at the event? My question is, what do they put hanging above the ring? Some ideas we've been mulling around. They could, of course, do the two titles. They could put a briefcase, because that's what we're expected to have up there. And if you played any of the WWE video games, that's always what they have up there. So, hell, why not? Or maybe this is the perfect time to debut a new title. I'll just go around one more time, guys. See what you think would be the best thing to do with the situation. How would you do it? And I think the most important question to ask, what you want it to look like. Tony, I know you're the guy who usually likes to go into these types of fantasy creation situations, so how would you do this?
It's kind of sad for me to say it, because I really, really like the design of a gold Money in the Bank briefcase that they've been showing off, and I was actually looking forward to that, because that would have been cool instead of that ugly red one that they've been carrying around for the past couple years.
The candy ones?
Yeah, so as soon as I saw that, I was like, fuck yes, this is going to be a great one. And now I think that they're forced to have the new title. I think this is the time you get rid of the stupid double championship thing, which they never should have done to begin with. That should have been the unification night. You get rid of that the next night of Raw. But they didn't. So now that they're going to have this whole company-wide sweep over where the WWE Network logo is going to replace everything, cut to the chase. Have a brand new title, make it the WWE Championship one that we have now, but with the network logo.
Wago, what will you do? Wago? All right, Drew White, what'd you do?
Hey. Oh, I'm back. My mic right. Fucked up.
It's all good. Wago, you want to go then?
Copy and paste Tony's response.
Drew?
I don't even know what the fucking question is now. Shit. Oh man, this is a bullshit.
I'm just gonna let you hang there for a second. Let that.
Okay,
one
fine. Down. If this is what I think it is, and it's about a new briefcase or something like that,
what would you have hanging above the ring at Money in the Bank?
A duffel bag.
Well, we're doing that then.
Oh goodness! All right, so. The other big story from this week is the follow-up from the shocking conclusion of last week's Raw, where Seth Rollins turned his back on the Shield, presumably to join up with the Authority and Evolution. Didn't see any follow-up from that part exactly this week, but we did see Seth Rollins come out for a sit-down interview with Michael Cole. He referred to the other Shield members as business partners, nothing more, and now it was good business for him to move on and go on to other ventures. After that, the other Shield members came out to try to attack Seth Rollins. However, the Wyatt family ended up coming out for the save, outnumbering the Shield at first, but John Cena comes down to even out the odds, and that creates our main event that we end up having later on in the evening. And why don't we just lump this all together? This main event was shit. The Shield and John Cena against the Wyatt family, it feels like it went on for frickin' ever. Us individually, in our little private chat, we actually started talking about E3. We weren't even talking about this damn match. It picks up for the last 2 minutes or so, and the crowd starts chanting, "This is awesome," which good for them, I guess. This match was not awesome. Roman Reigns wins with the spear in the end. John Cena and the last two Shield members standing supreme to conclude the show. Tony, what do you think about this?
Shit. It sucked. I was bored. I was bored for almost the entirety of this episode, and the main event just followed suit with everything else. I barely paid attention to it, and what I did pay attention to was a fucking snooze fest.
It really feels like Seth Rollins bombed on the most important night of his career, which is not good. The him out there with that mic by himself was so robotic. The presentation of him coming out there in the black suit, but coming out to the generic angry white boy music was not working. I'm not feeling this at all. But Wago, why don't you take over on that one?
Seth Rollins' promo really did just bomb. And as soon as his music started playing, I was just thinking to myself, he has daddy issues. Just shitty white boy metal, you're right. And I think the promo would have been a lot better if it wasn't interacting between Seth Rollins and Michael Cole, more so just Seth coming out and explaining himself. And it was just a real lackluster situation, and I think Seth's done better and could have done better.
All right, Drew White, what did you think about Seth Rollins' performance and our main event tonight?
I was okay with it. I didn't expect anything too much because Seth Rollins was I didn't see him as much of a talker. And, you know, it wasn't anything bad, but it wasn't anything good. I don't know if it will affect his career too badly, but hey, it's just the first night. You know, again, the Wyatts sucked for the first night, and they got better, so you never know. But that main event, though, yeah, that main event was that was shit. And I don't know how else to put it. The only thing I found interesting, I swear to God, Eric Rowan decides to wear back sweat each week. Not even kidding. And I don't even know anymore. The only thing interesting I saw was that super kick by Luke Harper. That was a nice kick.
If he ever goes babyface, that's going to be a great move for him to use.
Yeah, it's just going. I don't think he ever go babyface after this. So this is such a weird.
Oh, sure he can.
I mean, he could, but it's not going to work well. But hey, you never know. But gosh, that super kick! I was like, whoa, did not expect that. But yeah. That was shit. The thing was okay with Seth Rollins, Michael Cole, and the ring was black.
Was the ring black?
Yeah,
it was black.
Yeah,
I missed that.
They brought a black.
Everything's gotta be black.
I'm surprised Rusev didn't attack it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to touch on the match. As far as I'm concerned, worst main event of this year.
Yeah, I could definitely resonate with you on that one. Let me introduce someone else joining us with us, folks. Mr. Miguel Leon. Miguel, how you doing tonight, dude?
I'm doing all right, guys. I'm sorry for coming in late. I'll be honest, and this is going to lead into my explanation of the main event. I fell asleep halfway through the main event, and when I woke up, I was still on the couch.
Oh, Miguel.
Oh, wow. So did you catch the Seth Rollins segment, and do you have anything else you want to add to the main event that you actually do remember from it?
The main event the problem I had with the main event and the reason why I just let myself fall asleep, because I tried, I was like, all right, I'm going to stay up through this main event because I know that if I fall asleep now, I'm going to miss the start of the NPR show. But there was just nothing about the main event that I hadn't already seen. I mean, we've seen all sorts of incarnations of the Shield, Cena, and the Wyatts together. It just, to me, nothing about it gave me a reason to really stay up and watch it. Like, as soon as they announced that Cena was going to be the mystery opponent, I was like, all right, this is just going to be more of the same. I don't have to pay attention to this. In terms of the Seth Rollins promo, I think it's just like what Drew said. It's just first-time jitters. You know, this is first real solo performance by himself in the WWE. So I can't say it blew me away, but I can't say it was a complete disaster. I think it went a little bit too long is the only real criticism I can say. Other than that, it was an all right first go.
What was scarier, realizing he was late to the show or seeing that Chris Lee Knows Best was on TV?
Oh. Actually, it was the weirdest thing because I actually dreamt that I was actually getting up to start the show. You ever do that? Like, you fall asleep and you wake up and you're dreaming about doing the thing that you were trying to stay up in the process to do?
Thank God you weren't dreaming that you were watching Chris.
Imagine that. Like, you just have a night-long dream where you're just sitting on the couch watching Chrisley, and you wake up like, That was a terrible nightmare.
Yeah, you like to dream like they do in TV shows and stuff. You just shoot up, and you're like, ah, and then you look at the screen, and it actually is Chrisley, and you're like, ah! This nightmare's not ending.
And then you wake up again.
And then oh, Chrisley's not ass.
It's like it turns into Edge of Tomorrow.
This is way more fun to talk about than Raw.
Yeah, Raw overall is just more of the same.
So Miguel, let's dial back to the topic that you missed. We were talking about how Daniel Bryan has been stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Now the title is being decided in a Money in the Bank match. We know who a number of those contenders are. What do you think about all that?
It was bound to happen. You know, I'm in a way, I'm kind of glad that he's taking more time to heal up, because I would hate to have Daniel Bryan come back and defend the title just for the sake of defending it. I really want him to take his time. When it comes to nerve damage that they say that he might have, or neck damage, whatever it is, you got to give yourself some more time. You can't rush back, because you're just going to make things worse. So it's unfortunate, and it's really a really whimper of an ending to what was probably one of the most anticipated title reigns of the past year. But it's unfortunate. It really is. In terms of the Money in the Bank matchup themselves, I have a feeling who I think is going to eventually end up with the title. And even though I don't like it, given whenever WWE has the run of bad business, they usually end up slotting this guy somewhere in there. So let's just say I think we all know who's going to end up with that title belt by at least the end of the year.
Bo Dallas?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Shout outs to Alberto Del Rio joining us in the chat room. Glad to have you, man, here. It's nice to know that you've gotten yourself a bit more humble since your days of riding out in the fancy cars. You can join us here on the NPR Raw Post Show chat.
I'm surprised if you know how to speak English in keyboard language.
In keyboard language?
What was it? Hey, Del Rio, how was that time that you lost us in car? I liked it.
Alberto, I got a question. Why does your tan change with every week that passes?
That is kind of weird.
So does Zack Ryder's, if you saw him this week. Last time we saw him, he was pretty light-skinned. This week, he was orange.
Why went to your car?
Well, hold on, because he was taking on Rusev. He had to slap on the
color.
Yeah, the color.
He had to put on color.
He was getting TV time. He knew about it in advance, so he was getting ready. He had to fit in the black atmosphere as well.
This has all been building for this for him. He knew the date a month ago. He's like, oh, yeah, bro. Here we go. The return of Zack Ryder. Better start another YouTube show so I can get my name out there.
He wasn't wearing pants as well. When did he go back to short shorts or trunks?
He's been wearing that for a long time.
Well, you know, I thought he wore pants again for a few weeks or months.
Yeah, I'm sure he wore pants the weeks he wasn't wrestling. All right, folks, we're going to be opening up the phone lines in just a moment. If you want to dial in, get yourself in line. The number is area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. Get yourself in line. You can also join in with Skype. We're going to be back after just a moment.
Listeners, thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon. Be there.
All right, we got a couple more people joining us in the chat room. What's up, Creepas on the Radars and JT77, along with Alberto Del Rio and our own Stephen Huego. We actually have a chat room now. Good to see all you guys there. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. And now let's go ahead and open up the phone lines. As always, we have our favorite first caller, Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. JD, how you doing tonight, bro?
Boys, how's it going tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, man. Pretty boring Raw overall for us, but hey, what did you think about it?
Yeah, it was a shitty Raw tonight in Minneapolis. What do you expect? I mean, once again, Stephanie and Triple H have to run their bullshit mouth, as we always know, every week. Let's strip Daniel Bryan of the title because we'll give his butt buddies, Randy Orton, a chance to give Money in the Bank because he deserves it. give me an effing break already. I mean, to answer your question about Dr. Marone, I mean, being from Pittsburgh, I can vouch for him, and this is a real doctor. This is no bullshit. This is straight by the book, a real doctor. I mean,
you wouldn't make up that name.
No, he wouldn't. And this is serious. My one friend does know Daniel Bryan, the doctor, very well. However, he met him a few days after Daniel Bryan had the surgery here in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago. They're in trouble. They really are. You guys said it right at the start. I mean, they are in serious, serious trouble right now. And I think it's time. You got to get CM Punk on the phone or a Chris Jericho. You need someone fresh to get back in the face picture. The only question is, who would that be? I don't know who it'll be, but I mean, once again, Stephanie has to say, you just can't expect an A-plus recovery from a B-plus player. Gee, why don't we be a little more slutty this week, Stephanie? Why don't you have your husband's buddies suck his cock off and kiss his ass like you do every week? Yay! Give me a break. I mean, all in all, I mean, there was one good match the whole night. It was the opener. I mean, the Rusev thing, I mean, come on. You know how many times I've been bashing Rusev for weeks on end. And once again, it continues to be the same old bullshit this week. Lana says, oh, look at us. We're better than you because we have Vladimir Putin and your president is nothing. Give me a freaking break. Go back to Russia, you freaking communist, and stay there. You're nothing. You haven't proven anything since you got in. You only beat freaking Ryder, what, 1 minute tonight? Yay. Then you had that stupid Goldust R-Truth thing, which was a joke. I mean, if you want to laugh at something tonight that was kind of funny in a way, I have to laugh a little bit, is that whole ribbon dance with freaking Sandow doing the Will Ferrell thing. Now, that did put a laugh on my face.
You know what it was? He rocked it so much. He was putting his all into it.
He did an old school thing. But the milk thing with Summer Layla, boring. The Bo Dallas Xavier Woods, the Bo Leave. Come on, enough is enough. The other thing that was good, however, I mean, was kind of good, was the Cesaro-RVD match. And, I mean, I do think, and I've been saying for the last few weeks, I think it'll be Cesaro that ends up winning Money in the Bank. I think they're strapping the rocket onto him right now. But the only thing that's holding him back, however, and this is my only hold back thing, is Paul Heyman. I think they're definitely teasing more and more the Cesaro Brock Lesnar thing, either for Battleground or for SummerSlam at this point.
Drew White has a question he wanted to pose to you, JD, if you have a moment for that.
Yes.
Drew?
Now,
yeah,
JD.
Sure. What's his question?
All right, now, see, every time you call in now, it seems like you're getting more and more upset. I don't blame you. Raw has been shit for the past month or two now. I can't really remember a very good Raw, actually. So, yep. And yeah, so my question to you is, because I know you are not really happy about some of the things that are going on now, what have you done since Mania? What would you change to make what is going on now better? So pretty much, what would you do?
Well, what would I do? I would start talking to guys. I mean, I hate to say it, I just said it a few minutes ago. I would talk to a guy like Chris Jericho about maybe coming back if he's interested in coming back. I would definitely bring CM Punk back. You need that fresh face. You need a big face right now. I mean, yeah, you got the Shield as the top thing along with Daniel Bryan, but right now they're without a big main event player. And right now, Jericho or CM Punk could be that main event guy. They are missing that true main event guy. I mean, yeah, you have Triple H have his little buddies, however, kiss his ass along with Stephanie's ass. But at the same time, I think they need someone to tell the authority, quit hogging the spotlight every week, however, these 10 or 15, 20-minute promos to start the show. That's why your ratings are going down. That's why you're being hurt right now. And some of the things, like I said, the Bo dousing, I can understand it's a funny gimmick, and the Bo Leave thing, and I think people are starting to wear off of the gimmick. The Adam Rose thing hasn't done much for me. The Rusev thing, they've got to keep, I mean, stop doing this whole thing every week on the shows with Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, blah, blah, blah. We don't give a shit about your communist Russian ass. I'm sorry, we don't.
Well, it is a nice communist Russian ass.
Yeah, to be fair, it has been communist since the early 90s now.
Well, I think that Vince is just continuing to push the envelope into darker and darker territory. Mm. But like I said, the big thing is they need a true main event guy. They need that big one main event guy. And I'm hoping, beyond hope, however, that, I mean, they give CM Punk – I mean, I've been hearing Vince and CM Punk have been talking for the past month or so, off and on, every couple of weeks or so. They need to get Punk back in the fold either by the end of the summer or early part of the fall. They miss him tremendously, I'm sure. And if he doesn't, however, shame on them. But it's because of guys like Triple H and his ego letting his friends like Bautista or Blutista, whatever the hell you want to call him this week, and Randy Kiss Me Ass Orton, along with his little whore wife Stephanie, hogging the spotlight and basically continue to run down at people like Daniel Bryan and everyone at their turn because they think they're the mighty authority. Well, like I said, it's time to get someone to put the authority in their place. The only thing is, who's going to do it and when are they going to do it? They've got to do it soon. I'm getting tired of seeing the same old bullshit week after week after week after week.
And one more question. Now that we know what's going on going into Money in the Bank, who would you like to see in the championship match? Who do you think who do you want to see be champion, and who do you think is going to win it?
Well, I said Cesaro. I mean, I think the only thing that's holding Cesaro back right now is Paul Heyman. I think you're going to see Cesaro in the championship match, and I think it's going to be him. I hate to say it. Maybe him and possibly Brock Lesnar, or maybe him and Cena possibly, maybe at SummerSlam. It could go one of those two ways, I feel. I mean, that's the only thing that's holding Cesaro back right now is Paul Heyman. And I'm just getting tired of hearing Paul Heyman week after week saying, oh, the Undertaker's streak is done. The Undertaker's streak has been buried. Well, guess what? That leads me to wonder how more and more. I mean, I thought tonight we're going to see maybe Brock Lesnar show up in Minnesota and confront Cesaro. However, I do think they're going to hold off until after Money in the Bank, maybe until the early middle part of July, and then maybe build maybe Lesnar back up and say, hey, Brock, come on in at SummerSlam. Set up a match with Cesaro, however. I think that's the way they're going. If they don't do it then at SummerSlam, then they're in deep trouble. I'm going to say they're in trouble, but they might set up to something like the champions. But I think Cesaro would make a good champion right now. They need someone like him. I just can't see Alberto Del Rio at all. They haven't done anything with him. His you I consider that, but the thing is, though, a lot of people aren't sure if they're going to keep him as a face or as a heel. At one point, it looked like he was going to go back to a heel mode, however, but if he does go back to heel, I think that would be good for him. And right now, who else you got in there? You got those two, and that's right, Mr. Triple H's little butt buddy, who slid in, basically, because he was given a free pass and had all the free time in the world. And what was he doing tonight? Oh, that's right. He wasn't there tonight because they gave him the night off. Yay! Give me a break. They have to get three more guys in there. The only thing is, who are the last three guys that could get into this thing? I really don't know, but we'll have to wait and see.
If only there was, like, a group of three guys that they could all put in there.
Yeah, but, you know, talking about the Shield, you talked about Rollins earlier. Before I get my final point, there's been a lot of talk also about a couple of new members that might be going with the Shield at this point. Some of the names I've been hearing, I don't know if you guys have heard them, Adrian Neville, Corey Graves. There's been talk about those two guys I've heard. They're also talking about, at one point they were talking about bringing Mason Bryan back in, possibly. But I don't know. They need someone to fill that void right now, especially since Rollins is now Triple H's new lackey, if you will, or should I say his other lackey, if you will. As far as his promo tonight, I thought he did okay. He didn't do bad. I mean, it was first night jitters, like you guys said, and I think it'll get better in time. But I still think, however, they did this too quick, and they panicked too quick. That's why they did this turn. Now, as far as high point, low point of the night, high point, great first match with Sheamus and Barrett. Tremendous match. Those two guys always have a good match, it seems like, no matter what. They keep up with each other, and this was not a disappointment by any means. The low point tonight, it wasn't Rusev, although that is one of the low points. I'm going to say what you guys said earlier. The main event was really lackluster. 20 minutes they gave it, and it just seemed like the crowd was dead, pretty much. I mean, the only time they were into it was, it seemed like, in the opening match, and maybe Cesaro and possibly RVD. But if not, the first match was probably the only high point of the night they got cheers for, and the rest of the show was lackluster from there on in.
Which is a shame because it was such a fantastic crowd in Minnesota tonight.
Yeah, it was. And I know Jason Powell was probably there, Wade Keller from The Torch, and I'm sure Pro Wrestling Net were there. And I know, I don't know if I had a few friends there in Minnesota. I mean, I do have a couple friends in Minnesota. But, yeah, I mean, for them to come back to Minneapolis after what happened in Elimination Chamber in February and see a lackluster Raw, I mean, they've got to be a little embarrassed tonight. And hopefully this week in Green Bay they'll be able to pick it up on SmackDown. But, yeah, I think the Minneapolis crowd tonight it seemed like they were excited at the start, and then the first match, and then the rest of the night, they just went right after that.
They deserve better. JD, fantastic call as always, dude. Have a good night, dude.
You too, guys. See ya.
All right. We always love hearing what everyone's got to say. If you want to call in, get your opinion about the show, please do so. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to do so. Gosh, I don't even know where to go to next on this, guys. Why don't we just go ahead and start doing things chronologically? JD mentioned it as his high point. The opening match of the night, Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. Money in the Bank implications on the line in this match. Pretty damn good match, I gotta say. As he said, these guys have great chemistry between each other. Barrett was showing a lot of aggression throughout this match. A lot of times I thought he had it. However, Sheamus gets the bro kick in the end for the victory. Not exactly happy that Wade Barrett doesn't have an opportunity for that title, but you know what? As I said before, it's great that we will see Wade Barrett defend that Intercontinental title as he should be at this pay-per-view. So the prestige of that will continue. Sheamus will go in there. I don't think he has a snowball's chance in hell of winning the Money in the Bank matchup, so it's just a filler person. Let's go around and get your guys' opinions throughout that, though. Tony?
Definitely the best match of the night, and I'll give credit where credit's due, even though I'm not a big fan of Sheamus. He ended up holding his weight, and they had a fun segment here. I was really disappointed when they announced it, though, because that meant Sheamus was going to win. So that sucks. But at least the match that led to that outcome was pretty good. So it sucks that Bad News Barrett is once again not going to get Money in the Bank, because he could have gotten it several years now, and I would have been happy. But Sheamus needs to be in there because I guess they still consider him valuable enough to be like that main event type of guy. But he'll lose, so that's good. Good match.
Miguel?
I agree. I mean, I thought the matchup was pretty good. I probably wasn't as excited about it because it seems to me like we've just been getting matches with these guys for more than we should. Even though, to be honest with you, when they announced it, I admitted there was a bit of a prestige to it because it is your IC champ going against your US champ. I mean, it's unfortunate where we've gotten to where that doesn't even matter anymore. You know, it doesn't matter that these two guys are your two big mid-card champions. It's just, hey, we're having a matchup with these two guys, whatever. So, you know, that's worth mentioning. Other than that, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate that Sheamus is in there because he's just been kind of meandering around. I mean, yeah, he's got the belt, but really what else has he been doing as of late? And Barrett just seems to be on such a roll. It would have been nice to have had it culminate or at least lead up to this shot at the Money in the Bank briefcase, but you know, Sheamus is the bigger name, so I guess they want to stack the card up for this pay-per-view so people will buy it on the network. But as far as the matchup itself, it was good. These guys have great chemistry, and I would love to see this I would love to see a feud come out about this. You know, I know wishful thinking for it to be like some type of title unification feud, but I'd love to see these guys meet up at some point somewhere down the line and have a nice meaningful feud that leads to a matchup at a pay-per-view.
I think these two guys could be a big-time main event feud someday. So I'm totally behind you on that.
Were there people saying that at one point these guys, you know, were going to – I remember a lot of wishful thinking that people had about, you know, give it a few years. These guys are going to main event to WrestleMania together, and it hasn't really been the case. I mean, how long have these guys been in the company now?
4 or 5 years.
That still could happen. It still could happen. They're both, you know, Sheamus is still at the latter end of the twilight of, or the best part of his career, I should say. Bad News Barrett is just starting to hit his stride. I think he's still got a number of years left in front of him. These guys have been wrestling, though, for close to a decade, I got to think. So they know what they're doing. Wago, what do you think about this match and the fact that Sheamus is entering our Money in the Bank?
Okay, I never got to see the match. The first hour roll was not recorded for me, so that sucks. But as far as, yeah, the one fucking match that's meant to be good on this card, and I miss it, so that pissed me off.
The high point of the night, basically, was the first hour.
Yeah, and as far as Sheamus going in, stick a fork in him, he's done. There's really not a lot left for Sheamus to do, and I don't think he's ever going to reach any higher potential that he's got. So being a space filler on a Money in the Bank card is probably the best role for him. I just feel it could be more star-studded and a guy that... There's other guys that I'd put in there, but Sheamus is... I'm just not high on Sheamus. Hey, but didn't he get injured in the last Money in the Bank he was in? Maybe we can get lucky again.
I Curry in the chat room saying we're being way too harsh on Sheamus. I agree. You guys are being way too harsh on Sheamus. I think they had a fantastic match this evening, and Sheamus, when he needs to go, can go out there and put on a fantastic match. I think he's certainly deserved of being the current United States champion. I definitely don't think he's going to be a guy who deserves to win this Money in the Bank match, though. And if he does, then I'll be pissed. But I'm happy he's in the spot he's in. That's all cool. Drew, what do you want to add to this?
I thought it was a good match, you know. I think at one point they collided heads, and I was like, whoa, did they just fuck that up? And no, it was a headbutt, and I was like, whoa, awesome. But besides that, it was a relatively good match. I enjoyed it. And when we talked about the prestige factor, I think it meant more when they weren't on the same show and, like, you had the brand split, and on the occasion they'd fight each other. I think that's when the prestige factor came into play. I think ever since they got rid of the brand split, you shouldn't be surprised if we see two people like this fighting. Then the titles don't mean shit now. So, yeah, and hey, I'm not the one that's down on Sheamus. I love me some Sheamus. I love Sheamus. Sheamus loves me.
Right. All right, our next segment started off with Lana coming out, and I actually really enjoyed this promo. She started calling our president, Barack Obama, a sissy and a girly man, and then proceeded to play this hilarious video of him working out. Just fucking hilarious. Well timing. And then they showed pictures of Vladimir Putin looking all muscular and doing manly things like doing karate.
He's fat.
Not fat. He's got muscles.
I thought it was fat. No, that was not muscles. I thought that was fat.
You just think anything's fat. No, because
those are
you're
old.
Scrawny.
Those are old people muscles.
Yeah, those are old people muscles. He's jacked for his age, dude.
I don't think it was jacked. I thought I saw boobs more than moobs.
Okay. Well, that's what they look like at that age. You know, it's hard to keep them tight. I mean, look at Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Hogan, we're really having jacked. This conversation.
He's jacked for
hair,
life.
Hair of a Chinaman, skin of a hot dog.
Hulk Hogan.
Anyway, we had a matchup between Rusev and Zack Ryder. A short mash match. Nothing too much to talk about out of that. A Russian flag drapes down from the sky afterwards as Rusev does that thing where he throws his arm around. It's really pissing me off, which I have no reason why it's pissing me off, but it just looks stupid when he does it, and I wish he'd stop. Go around to you guys. Get your thoughts about the potato versus the tangerine. Drew?
Yeah, you can barely call this a match. When I saw Zack Ryder, I'm like, oh, God damn it, not to watch Zack Ryder wrestle. But, you know, where JD hates the whole Rusev gimmick, I'm actually really coming around to it. It's an easy way to get, you know, some heat, so, and it's working. Not very many people cheer him. And the only positive thing about Rusev right now is Lana, which is the only reason why I think I'm liking anything to do with him. So, yeah, that's about it.
Miguel?
I'm not digging Lana at all. In fact, whenever she comes out, I usually just mute the TV. I can't stand the content of her promos. It's just old 1980s jingoistic, just anti-American nonsense.
What was wrong with that?
It's cheap heat. It's just there's no substance to it. It was fine the first few weeks, but it's been the same thing for the past few months now. I mean, she debuted in what? April, I believe. It's almost June now. I just wish that she would bring a little bit more substance to it. I mean, if they want her on there just to look good and tell America that America sucks, fine. But I just usually just mute the TV and just stare. That's usually what I do with her. In terms of the matchup itself, there's not much to say. It was another potato squash, you know. That's all you can really say about it. Eventually, he's going to need an actual opponent. So I'm just kind of biding my time until then. You know, I'm just thinking what type of opponents they could put against him. I've got one idea, but I don't know if they're going to do it.
What's that?
I think they should turn Jack Swagger babyface and have him be the American, you know, muscle against Rusev.
Well, I think they could possibly go for that. I mean, they're trying to get this new thing going on with Jack Swagger where Zeb Coulter's slapping him to get him all fired up. That's a very babyface thing to do.
Yeah, and I mean, can you imagine the promos between Lana and Zeb? I just imagine some of the stuff that'll come out of Zeb's mouth.
I think that would be excellent. Right now, it's just wishful thinking, but I think that'd be a cool idea to see. Pulling a couple comments out of the chat room. iCurry saying Lana/Rusev is just boring. Creepa's on the radar saying that metal and flag make potato look more and more like a comedy character. And JT77 saying hashtag dem legs though.
I agree. So.
Yes, indeed. Mango, what do you got to add to this?
Fuck me, this took forever. Holy shit. Every time I looked over, because I really stopped paying attention to this immediately, I knew it was just going to be a waste of my time. It just kept going on. And I'm working on stuff during the middle of Raw if I'm not paying attention to it. I could have sworn I probably made up like 3 logos in the time that it took for them to fucking finish this. I couldn't stand it. I'm so sick of this. Rusev sucks with this character. He needs more character. He finally spoke a little bit more tonight, but that's still crap. And the weird flag waving, now the flag comes down. There's too many steps to this, and none of them are entertaining. Lana is good to look at, but she sucks on the mic. And her music is awkward, which is a running theme now. Seth Rollins, Cesaro, Lana.
What the hell's going on?
You know what? They've been doing some really good themes with this new person that's not Johnston. CFO pound sign.
CFO money, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Sure, but you know, a bunch of asterisks and stuff. Somebody cursed and they were just like, oh, yeah, that's your name. He's done some good ones, though. I think he's the one responsible for the Real Americans one. He might not be. I don't know for sure. I know he's done some.
Who the fuck's responsible for Cesaro's? We need to shoot that guy.
It might be him. I don't know. Maybe he just decided that he was going to put less effort into it or something. But I think Lana's entrance is awkward and annoying. And I think whenever she gets on the mic, it's awkward and annoying because it's not just the idea of what she's saying. It's her delivery more that bothers me. And if somebody else had a better delivery to do this, I probably wouldn't dislike it as much. But she seems so forced. She just reminds me of the type of acting that we'll be expecting in the new Leprechaun movie. Huh. I'm not big on this at all. And it took me about maybe a minute and a half after the match was over for me to realize that Zack Ryder was the one that he squashed. Because this whole thing is pointless. And poor Zack.
All right, Wago, round us out.
The thing is with Rusev, he really is just being built up for John Cena to have someone to beat. And that's all his future is going to be. These squash matches, they're pointless and they're boring. And until he actually fights someone and beats someone worthy of actually getting him to the next level, I don't see any future for him other than just being a guy for John Cena to beat, because he's not giving me anything special and I don't see any big deal about him. He just bores me to tears. And the sooner John Cena gets around to killing him off, the better.
All right, JT77 telling us everything we are mentioning is the same problems every week, and I swear they book/script the same shows bi-weekly. It's the B+ Steph to Lana and Putin to the Shield and tags and on and on and on. All right, well, let's shake things up here. Let's branch out and let's try to shake it up for us. How would we have booked the character of Rusev coming in? It doesn't have to be Russian. Just say you're in developmental. You're presented this guy with this tremendously huge thighs. Looks kind of like a potato. What would you do with him? Again, Tony, I'll go to you first because I know this is your forte.
Without having any time to really think about it, the first thing that would come to my mind is put him in a tag team. And that's not just because we could use more tag teams, but if you have one other person who is in a tag team with him and you don't need to necessarily push him too far too fast, you can let them play off each other and you can let the other guy do some of the work when Rusev gets used to wrestling on that kind of a stage, because he does seem a little bit green here and there. And that little bit of time period, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year, where you've got Rusev and Lana and or somebody else that could have played it a lot better than Lana too, and whoever his partner would be, they can be staples in the tag team division, and Rusev can kind of build off of that. I think the problem with Rusev is they're giving him that undefeated streak, monster kind of role, and he doesn't fit it. And the big problem with the undefeated streak thing is as soon as you lose, you've lost everything that is worth for you. He clearly doesn't have enough character to be interesting outside of that. And as soon as he loses to John Cena, like Wago's saying, his stock is going to drop dramatically. So bringing him in with that kind of a character isn't going to lead somewhere. But if you let him build his own character over time, then it could work. And if it doesn't, he never deserved to get that kind of a push to begin with.
What kind of tag team would you put him in, though? Like, would you put him in with two big guys? Would you give him a small guy? Would you make, like, an awkward pairing? Like, you know, put him with a comedy guy and he's the straight-faced guy. What would you do?
Probably try to get somebody that's close to what his specialties are, so it's two of the same guy. Because even though you can do a lot of good stuff with, like, a really big guy and a really small guy and do, like, the strength and speed thing, I think a lot of the better teams that have gone on over the years were people that could work together and they had a similar style, like Hawk and Animal or the Smoking Guns or a lot of different people like that. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody in developmental that could play that role, but
that all depends.
And
are you saying Jericho was not a good tag team?
No, of course they were.
Oh,
no, there's different tag teams that you can do, but I mean, that's what is part of the fun. You don't need to have the same kind of tag team for everybody. So maybe a little guy would have worked with him, or maybe some steak to go with the potato. I don't know. There's a lot of different options you could do.
Miguel, how would you have debuted the character or the guy, Alexander Rusev?
Honestly, his debut was fine. I'm not saying that the debut and the core of the character is bad with Alexander Rusev. I think having the manager there is fine. I think having the squash matches is fine. But at this point, they need to give people a reason to care that this guy is going to lose. And I think the easiest way to do that, put a belt on him. You know, have him – and honestly, if it were me, by now, I would have given him the U.S. belt. And if they want to keep continuing with these squash matches, that's fine because it builds up intrigue. It builds up, you know, this guy is basically a foreigner who's holding our U.S. title hostage. And it builds up more and more intrigue to where when he finally loses against somebody, it makes it mean that much more. Because right now, if he loses, no one's going to care. He's just a big guy that's just squashing people. No one's going to care as much. I mean, it's like Ryback. It's like when he finally lost, no one really made that big of a deal about it. I mean, that's something I wish they would have done with Ryback when they were building him up, is put a mid-card belt on him to give him some more prestige. But I think in the case of Rusev, if you want to really make him seem like a real threat to where when you finally put him against a John Cena, it's credible, you got to give him some gold, some real gold, not that metal thing.
Okay. Drew, what would you have done if you were presented the guy Alexander Rusev and you had to create a character for him?
Well, I think one of the main issues that they had when he debuted was he debuted as one thing and now he is technically a Bulgarian residing in Russia and now his gimmick is Russian invading America. I wouldn't have done that. I would have just given him like the Russian thing in the first place, but I would have put him in a tag team, keep Lana there. But his partner, it doesn't matter the size. He just had to be from Russia, or they had to put him as a man from Russia or residing in Russia. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, and then you could always just do Russia versus USA because apparently that's what the people want nowadays. I think that would have been a better way of doing it because, hey, why not?
All right, Wago, I know you're always the most criticizing of this character. What would you have done with this guy?
Well, first off, when he was brought into developmental, he was actually a bit trimmer and looked better. So I prefer him at that size. And also, he had his hair shaved.
Mm-hmm.
He looks so much better that way. He looks fucking awkward with that hairstyle. So for starters, the look, that'd be different. And second, I'd put him in the Big E role. He'd be a great muscle for one of the smaller baby faces. I think he could benefit much like Big E did from being with a Dolph Ziggler who knows how to work. And too much how Tony was saying, because he's green, you put him with a guy with a bit more experience so he can learn the ropes and when or if it's possible for him to break away. You can turn him face against the heel baby face and work from there.
All right, folks, we got another caller on the line. We're going to open up the phone lines to area code 302. Caller from 302, you are live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Mike. I'm from Delaware.
Mike from Delaware. What's shaking, bro? What'd you think about Raw tonight?
It was okay. Kind of boring, but I mean, it wasn't memorable because I don't really remember that much that happened.
Hmm. Okay. Well, what did you want to talk about?
I don't know. Probably should have listened to the show a little bit more. because I can't really remember anything that happened besides that last tag match, which was actually pretty good.
Oh, the main event. You like the main event.
Yeah, the main event was good.
Are you a big fan of the Wyatts, or what made you like this match?
Well, it was just an actual good match. Like, it wasn't – like, I mean, I like the Shield, but it was just good. It was just a good match on Raw for once. Haven't had a lot of those recently.
All right, Mike. Well, let me ask you what you think. Oh, go ahead.
The choice of the people they're putting in this ladder match seems kind of odd to me.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you about. So please go ahead.
Don't like Alberto Del Rio. Not at all. Cesaro is good, but I think that if you're having a big ladder match, then Rob Van Dam would be the better choice to put in there. I know you guys don't like him that much, but he's better in a ladder match.
He is a guy who flies all over the place. He would be a great guy to have in a ladder match, because right now, people they got in there, I'm not seeing Sheamus doing anything crazy. Orton's going to stay on his feet pretty much the entire match. Maybe Del Rio would do one or two big spots, but they need someone in there who's going to be doing some high flying to make this match interesting.
Yeah, and Mysterio's out. There's really not a lot of high flyers you can put in there.
You can always put Seth Rollins.
It's not going to be a good match. He's not doing anything
else. The match aside, who do you hope wins it and becomes our new heavyweight champion?
That's hard to say, because I do have a soft spot for Ziggler, but he's not in it. So, out of the four that they've announced so far, I guess Cesaro would be my choice.
Not a bad choice at all. I think that would set up nicely for a Cesaro-Brock Lesnar match into the summer. But long-term, hoping Daniel Bryan comes back, how would you have Daniel Bryan come back and challenge for that? Like, do you think he should just jump right back into it, feeling like he's entitled to it? Or does Daniel Bryan have to start at the bottom and lead his way all the way back to that title?
I think they're going to bring him back, and they're just going to put him into a number one contenders match. He's going to win, and he's going to go on. And he's either going to get it, or he's going to feud for a while, and then he's going to get it.
All right, Mike, I got one last thing I always like to ask people here. I know you said you don't remember much about the show, but we always like to ask people what their favorite part of the show and what their least favorite part of the show was. So what was that for you?
Okay, my favorite part, I just remembered something, was actually the promo that Heyman cut before Cesaro came out. That was really good. That was just really good. And least favorite was probably the popcorn bit with Alicia Fox.
Oof.
That was just too awkward. I mean, if they're going for the Oksana face turn, they can pair him up with Jinder Mahal. But other than that, I don't really know what they're going to do.
Goodness. What the hell was that? Is that a sonic screwdriver?
I'm sorry, am I lagging a bit?
No, there was some weird vibrating sound. Mike, thank you very much for calling in, man. It was a good call. Thanks for calling in. Feel free to call back in anytime. We're on every week. Apparently you listen to us, so you know we don't like Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, fan of you guys, fan of Smart Cat Moment. I like you guys.
Oh, tremendous, dude. Call in anytime, like I said. Have a good night, bro.
Sure, all right. See you later.
See you, Mike.
Bye. Another great call here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience out there. So if you want to call in and get your opinion, do so. Area code 760-512-7247 is the number to call in. We also got the chat room open. Creep is on the radar. JT77 still hanging out, getting things going in there, talking about John Cena and some other crap. They were talking about TNA before. I cannot believe this is the Raw Post Show and we're talking about TNA.
Well, that's how boring tonight's episode was.
Not talking about TNA. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back talking about tonight's edition of Raw, not TNA.
Hey, listeners, thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its one-year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon. Be there.
Oh, you guys are making me blush with all your comments about it. It's also weird hearing my voice over and over like that.
Radical to the max.
Don't be a dweeb. Go check out NPR.
Is this apparently why I do it?
Apparently you recorded this in
1997. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. We had a tag team matchup with Rybacksel going against Goldust and his flavor of the week tag team partner, R-Truth. Also another failure for Goldust. Quick roll-up pin from Curtis Axel to get the victory. Cody looking on in the back is, of course, disappointed, but later on, he tells Goldust he found the perfect partner to bring out the magnificence in Goldust. So hopefully, finally next week, we'll see the conclusion of this and where this is going, what the hell is happening here. If Goldust is just going to go on without incident where Goldust is going to get a new partner and Cody's going to go on in his own way, is there going to be some kind of twist here where Cody really turns on Goldust? Is this all just going to be a ruse and Cody's going to come out with like some kind of new gimmick and that's going to be the way he's going to be Goldust's new partner? What the hell is going to happen here? Miguel?
It's going to be Relic, which is killer spelled backwards, by the way.
Okay.
Inside joke.
Miguel, why don't you give us a serious answer too? That was funny, but asking for your serious one too.
Like I said, I honestly don't know where they can go with this. I mean, the only thing I can think of is maybe bring up a developmental guy. I mean, who on the roster can he really stick with them that's going to match him? I think it'll probably end up being somebody on the NXT brand, and maybe Tyler Breeze? I don't know. I mean, that's the only one I could think of that might fit with him. I mean, given that they share the same – him and Cody share the same old-school, like, gorgeous gimmick, maybe that could be it. I don't know.
Maybe Cody should come out with the Black Rain character. And he could be – just call him Silver Dust. It's Creepers Under Radar has got that in the chat. Silver Dust. That's a perfect name for him.
That's the first name I thought of. Silver Dust. I was just like, don't be Silver Dust. Don't be Silver Dust.
It's going to be Damian Sandow dressed up as Gold Dust.
Oh, gosh, no.
Wearing the leotard.
Don't give him any ideas.
That actually sounds plausible.
I actually had a quick thought about that now that you're saying that, because Cody would have a friendship with Damian Sandow from when they were Rhodes Scholars. So perhaps he would call him and be like, hey, we had tag team success before. Why don't you try it out with my brother, too? Maybe you guys will find some success.
Wouldn't it be the one thing he's done?
Sand dust. Oh, Wago, what would you think about all this?
Still confused, still unsure of the direction, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's Cody Rhodes trying to sabotage Goldust's career because he's had such a shitty result of his own recently. But I'm not sure. Still open to everyone else's suggestions because I'm clueless.
Mango?
I really hope he's not Silver Dust. But you know what? Even if he does do that, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe Cody can pull it off, because he seemed like he had a lot of fun when he did that other mask gimmick. And he's cut a couple different promos, he's been in some interviews where he said that that was one of his favorite things he's done. So maybe this is them telling him, look, we have nothing for you right now as Cody Rhodes. What do you want to do? If you're not going to get a fucking title anytime soon, what can you do for fun? And maybe he just went, nah, maybe I'll just keep it going with Goldust and I'll be whatever the fuck I want to call myself. But how crazy is it going to be if they just pull something out of their ass and it ends up being nothing that any of us would have ever been anticipating? And there's this whole big setup of, oh, this magnifying person, and he's going to be this interesting character or whatever, and it ends up being like fucking Jason Jordan. And it's just like, dude with gold dust, and that's it. I hope that they have a plan here that is better than their plans with the WWE Championship.
Drew?
Bricker T.
Bricker T? What the heck?
I'm just a Bricker T.
That's all you got? Just Booker T? Just bring out Booker T? Reunite the... Because that was a great tag team, Booker T and Goldust.
Well, they mentioned that it was a guy from the past, didn't they?
So did I just thought, that?
Yeah, I thought when Cody Rhodes was going on his rampage about that, it was he's like a veteran, a class guy from the past.
I thought he said it was someone that Goldust wouldn't know, too.
Ah, yeah. Maybe you couldn't. Maybe he doesn't know who Booker T is. You know.
Yeah, I think
black.
I think he mentioned it when Big Show was aiming his gun. Yeah.
Well, in that case, you know, if he doesn't know him, then might as well bring out. I don't know, some no-namer. I don't know. Yes. Oh, what was what Shaw guy from TNA? What's he doing? Samuel Shaw.
He's locked up in a mental institution.
Samuel Shaw.
Yeah, he's cutting a promo and he's still trying to finish saying his last name. That's what he's doing. Yeah, so there he goes. Oh, Samuel Shaw live on the show, folks. Tremendous.
So yeah, I don't think it was Samuel Shaw. Maybe John Cena. You know, I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
We had a pretty cool segment where three-man band is there. That's all you need to know to make it cool. Three-man band calls out the Shield, who is happy to greet them, giving them the mother of all beatings, especially Roman Reigns getting this awesome spear on Heath Slater. However, nobody saw it because the camera missed it. Oh, what an awful mistake. Eventually, the Shield members head their way to the ring. Ambrose goes in the mic first, claims that they're going to go down in history as one of the greatest groups ever, and he is absolutely right. Later on, says that they're going to be finding Seth Rollins, kicking his ass. We already mentioned that segment, but he should have handed it off to Roman Reigns, actually. He drops the mic first and is like, oh, wait, Roman has to talk, and picks up the mic and hands it to him. They both had a little chuckle to each other. That was funny. Roman Reigns takes the mic. He's freaking fantastic. He drops an awesome line that I liked where he said, you're the king of kings. Well, tonight we're going to be playing a Game of Thrones of our own. He said the name of a TV show I like. It was cool.
Oh, a TV show you do a podcast for.
Oh, the next time he's probably going to say like an Orange is the New Black reference or something.
And then he's going to throw something.
Right. That's the first thing I thought about. I'm like, Roman Reigns standing there looking hot. Peyton's like, oh, yeah, I like this. Game of Thrones? Wait, Eddie threw a microphone? Hollywood?
Indeed. The segment was awesome. I think one of the better Shield promos they've cut in a long time, and they've been doing a lot of great promos. With Seth Rollins out of the picture, I think it allowed more room for Ambrose and Reigns to both shine in their promos. So, yeah, that's what I got to say about that. Tony, what do you got to add?
This started off a little bit awkward because I thought that they were kind of implying that the Wyatt family match had changed and it was going to be 3MB instead, which is nowhere near as intimidating. And then, of course, it followed up with, oh, my God, did you see what happened? Nope, none of us did. Fucking great camera work there. But it ended up becoming a really good segment. Dean Ambrose killed it on the mic and Roman Reigns followed it up very, very well as well. Highlight of the night for the most part for me. And that's not saying much compared to a lot of the other stuff, but I really did like this promo. Like you said, it was one of the better promos that they've done in a while. And I think that this kind of proves that not only is Dean Ambrose probably the best person on the mic out of all the Shield members, but Roman Reigns, for the people that said that he couldn't talk before, he's gotten to a point now where you got to throw that out. He can.
Ambrose, that whole bit where he was talking about how they were going to mutilate Seth Rollins, about taking his nose and bring it over to his ear, and he's going to pull out his hair and put it into his mouth, which is going to have a lot of space because they're going to knock out all of his teeth. That was blood-curdling. It was fantastic. I think that was one of the best promos anybody has cut all year. I loved it.
After that, it's just like a little thing pops on the screen. Baby face. John Cena comes out. Hey, guys, how you doing? This is a great episode of Raw. Cena sucks. Fuck you, asshole.
Oh, goodness. Wago, what do you got to add about that?
This is the best part of Raw that I saw. Down a fucking shitty-ass show, it was nice to have some good old-fashioned wrestling promo about a guy just wanting to kick the fuck out of another one. And Dean Ambrose delivered it perfectly, talking about how he's going to do all these horrible things to Seth Rollins. And then Roman Reigns gets the microphone, and he delivers that line so fucking smooth. He's really got it, and that he's definitely going to be the next big thing in the company right now.
It's crazy because this same night where we're talking about how Seth Rollins was placed on his own and really kind of disappointed as far as the promo he had tonight, Reigns and Ambrose given a little bit of extra time without Rollins in the mix, and they just shined so much.
I think what helps them out a lot is the fact that most of these guys, when they cut a promo, and this goes for Daniel Bryan and John Cena, they have this happy, jolly, joking demeanor to them. But when it's any member of the Shield, it's all about business and just kicking the shit out of another guy. And that comes across so much more real, and people just get into it a lot more, and I think it benefits them so much better.
Hmm. Very true, very true. Miguel, what do you got to say about this segment?
It kind of came out of nowhere for me, because like Tony said, I wasn't expecting this pre-match before the main event. But it definitely proved a point. It definitely proved how angry the Shield was. Honestly, though, I think given how lackluster the main event was, part of me kind of wishes they'd have left that energy for the main event rather than just, you know, gotten rid of it halfway through the show. In terms of the promos, I think what really broke the promo through for me in terms of Dean Ambrose was his body language. You know, he was just kind of shaking around almost, and just you could tell that he was just, that character was just a few short, you know, he was a hair short of, you know, going postal, which I really dug, and I think really put that promo over. In terms of the Reigns promo, I think it was a little bit clunky at first, a bit, but by the end of it, he really had his game set. And I think, you know, you guys are talking about how Ambrose and Reigns are the ones that have kind of broken through, while Rollins is the one that they seem to be putting all their muscle behind. I think that's the reason why. I think they're kind of looking at Ambrose and Reigns like, all right, these guys are going to be fine on their own. We need some time to kind of work with Seth Rollins and season him up a bit. So we're going to be the ones, because they could have easily done it with a Reigns or an Ambrose, but I think they realized those guys are going to be okay on their own. We don't need to worry about them.
Yeah, very much like when they put a green Randy Orton and Batista with Ric Flair and Triple H, so they can get that time learning from people who have spent a lot of time main eventing, going all over the country, selling out buildings, and we saw how well it worked out for those guys. Maybe that's how it will work for Seth Rollins as well, because for the longest time, it's always been said Seth Rollins is looking like he's going to be the weak link, and no one knows what the hell to do with him. And the last few months, there's been some doubt to that. There's been more people getting on the Seth Rollins train, and more people actually starting to doubt Dean Ambrose. Tonight was a big reminder that Ambrose is going to be fine, just fine.
Yeah.
The one thing I disagree with you, Miguel, is that I don't think you could have done that with Reigns. I just don't think it would have gone over well. I think it's a situation where if you'd had him feud with the other two members of the Shield, he still would have got cheered for.
Yeah, I think Reigns is going to be the next big babyface, or at least I hope, because, you know, there's always that thought in the back of your mind that they could just get bored of a guy and move on. I mean, it happened to Ryback. I mean, I remember I was huge. You and I, Steven, we were huge on Ryback at one point. You know, I thought the guy was going to be the next big star, and then I don't know what happened. They just decided, they just lost complete and utter faith in him, and he hasn't been the same since.
Going to take some comments out of the chat room here. Brian the Brain Show saying, Ambrose reminds me of Piper for sure. Absolutely, the way he gets very violent and the tones and the mannerism he has, very similar. Creepers on the Radar saying, Reigns has to do less with his face, I think. Either that or choose facial mannerisms that are relevant to the promo. He does do some crazy things with his face. Dean Ambrose has those facial things down a little bit better than Reigns does, but Reigns is getting there. And Brian the Brain also saying Reigns is the next Rock. Drew, why don't you take over next, man? What'd you think about this segment with the Shield and three-man band, I guess, was there too?
three-man band was there, and they're gone. That's the easy way to put it. But, yeah, for the segment itself, it was okay. There's not much I need to touch on now. I think you guys gone over the main portions of it. And yeah, I just really liked it, I guess.
You guess? Or did you?
I guess.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if everybody, I'm pretty sure not everybody got this. Tony, you might have gotten it, though. We got an advertisement for a house show that's going to be coming up in Newark, New Jersey. And you know what the main selling point for the house show was? A six-man tag match with the Wyatts versus the Shield.
Did it do, because I had something recently pop up the other day that said, Daniel Bryan would defend the title against Kane in some kind of a stipulation, and it was something ridiculous. It was like in a fucking last man standing match or something like that, and John Cena is going to fight Bray Wyatt in like three stages of hell or something, and it was just like, I don't think any of this shit's happening. So I didn't get the Newark ad, but I'm not surprised at all. And you'll probably get another one of them next week, and it'll be like, Seth Rollins fights for the Shield when he teams up with WWE Champion Daniel Bryan against CM Punk.
Well, at least I wasn't stupid enough to advertise a fucking 8-man first blood match. I don't think anyone's that dumb.
Okay. Oh, well, our next matchup was a tag match featuring the Usos, our tag team champions, going against the team of Fandango and his new tag team partner, at least for tonight, Damian Sandow, who has taken up, or at least decided to express, one of his longtime hobbies, interpretive dance. He comes out in this ridiculous leotard. He's doing one of those little twirly ribbon things. He's dancing all around the ring throughout the match. And you know what the craziest thing is? He looked like he was having fun, and the crowd was into it. And you know what? It was fun to watch. I actually kind of enjoyed this. It was hilarious. I get this feeling that this was maybe a throwback to Ricky Starr, which, if you don't know who Ricky Starr is, get up on your wrestling history. Is a really old school guy from, I want to say, the 40s or the 50s. Used to dance around the ring, ballet style, and that was his gimmick, because you could have those kind of gimmicks back then. I don't want him to do this every week, but for a one-off, since that's what Damian Sandow has been doing the last number of weeks, this is by far the most enjoyable one he's done, in at least my opinion. Please don't do it again, though. Usos get the victory by pinning Damian Sandow. And that's that. Tony?
Man, I don't know if I should be optimistic about this or pessimistic, because that's the linchpin of the whole thing, is what you said. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
If they do it again, holy overkill. Fuck, don't ever fucking employ this guy again that thought that it was a good idea. If they don't, okay. It was kind of funny. Poor Fandango, though. He had Layla continue that dumbass segment from earlier.
Oh, I didn't even mention that. Layla got milk poured on her and some crap.
Yeah, and that just dragged this down. Layla would have been a much better service if she just, I don't know, didn't exist on this episode of Raw.
Just fuck off.
Yeah, just stayed injured for a little bit more or something like that. I don't know. But the Sandow thing, at first, my gut reaction was just, God damn it. Like, they're really screwing this guy over. But like you said, he seemed like he had fun. So maybe he did, or maybe he's gotten to the point now where he's like, oh, clearly they're not going to push me, so I'll just have fun with this fucking ribbon. Like,
I think he's happy to have a job. Maybe. He's happy to be on Raw.
At least I'm not JTG.
What do you mean? JTG is clearly going to be the next tag team partner of Goldust. JTG Dust or something. The match was a good way to showcase that the Usos are good, because it's nice to see them actually get a win every once in a while. And the crowd is still with them, so they're still having fun, too. And if Fandango's having fun, Sandow's having fun, the Usos are having fun, the crowd's having fun, can't really be too down on it, can you?
Nope. That's the exact view I'm taking on it. Drew, what do you want to add?
I forgot about the Layla thing. And the fact that it was the milk, the only thing I could think of is Johnny Curtis's Don't Cry or Ever Spill Milk gimmick. That's all I could think about. And now I can't get that
amazing.
Yeah, I still wish he still had something like that instead of the Fandango thing, because that's not going to go anywhere as well. But yeah, it was, the match was fun, and I was really surprised as soon as I saw Sandow. I was like, oh, fuck, what is he going to be doing this week? Then when I saw him dancing, I was like, oh, shit. This is going to look terrible. But honestly, it was better than expected. You know, it's probably one of those, okay, it was funny once, but you shouldn't try to milk it for what it's worth. So,
ah, pun.
Like you're milking that joke?
Ah, double pun.
So,
ah, the triple threat.
Shut the fuck up, Miguel. So, yeah, that's about it.
I want to take out of the chat room Creepus on the Radar saying he gets paid and doesn't have the pressure of being a top guy. I guess that's a good gig. Beats being an indie worker, and that is for damn sure. As I said, Damian Sandow's on Raw every week. Yeah, he's doing a lot of misses, but every once in a while he gets some hits too. I don't know. Drew, you just went, didn't
yeah.
you? Yeah. Screw
no,
you. Miguel?
I can go again if you want me to.
No, Miguel, please.
Oh, fuck, never mind. Damn.
Hey, Damian. Put on this leotard and go out there and dress like a girl. Why, Vince? Because it makes me laugh.
That's the only vibe I got of this. I'm like, this has to be just Vince. He got up. He must have seen like a leotard in like one of the wardrobes back in the backstage and was like, let's put Damian in that. That'd be funny. Yeah, I think that would be really funny. I'm not into this whole embarrassed Damian Sandow thing. I don't know why they're doing it with this guy. I mean, in the case of a Santino, you could do that with a guy like him because they got the best they could. They gave him the IC strap the first night in. He got his big push. Now he's going to basically do what he does best and make people laugh. With Sandow, he has so much more potential than that. I don't understand what this is. And everybody keeps saying that, yeah, he's employed and he makes money, so why should he complain or anything? I don't know. To me, that just ruins the whole point of you know, if it's just going to be seen as that, as a job, you might as well go work at like a regular desk job or something. Like, you should want to aspire to do better, but when you've got a, when you're in a situation like that, I mean, it's got to be a bit soul crushing. You know,
I just to go off that point really quick, I think the fact that he is greeting this with such enthusiasm is a testament and perhaps hope that he is going to stick around. When you saw Zack Ryder start to fall down the totem pole, you saw all of his motivation disappear, and that's why he's a nobody now. Damian Sandow putting this kind of enthusiasm into the stuff that he's being given is only going to speak volumes for him and put him in such a good stature with everybody.
Yeah, I agree, because with Zack Ryder, it was like, I don't get a push. I don't get this. I don't get that.
I'm going to make videos of me versus catering.
To be fair, though, I can understand in the case of Ryder, because they killed him. I mean, even Mick Foley says that even Mick Foley said it best. They killed that guy's career. I can understand why he would be that sullen about his stature. But, I mean, Damian Sandow, they haven't killed his career yet, but you hate to see it get any worse than this. I didn't buy into it. I shook my head the entire time. I think Sandow was so much better than the stuff they've been doing, and hopefully it leads somewhere. In terms of the matchup, I'm glad the Usos won, because that guarantees me points, and that's really all I can say about that.
All right, Wago, finish us off on this one.
I thought it was fucking ridiculous, though I did get a chuckle out of it at first, and at least he looked more masculine than Adam Rose.
Gay!
Yep.
I missed that show.
You know what I'm glad he didn't say?
Because I rip my pants!
Nah, use the sound bite.
Pants.
That'd be gimmick infringement, sir.
All right, so let's move on to our Bo Dallas match of the night. He fought Xavier Woods, and the biggest notes I have off of this match, Woods has some new theme music, and he grew a beard. Who knew? Well, he just lost to Bo Dallas, as you would expect anyone to do. Bo Dallas, though, really, really selling this character. Talking about someone who's putting their all into a character. Bo Dallas is just fantastic. At the end of the match, when the referee was doing the three count, if you have the opportunity, look at Bo Dallas's face when the referee hits a three. He gets this look of, like, surprise, like, what? Three? Really? Yeah!
Can I not look at his face? He's got these weird eye wrinkles that creep me out.
He does really have weird eye wrinkles.
He's so weird. He's not someone who should be this confident, which just makes the character that much better. Before the match, he does a promo saying that Daniel Bryan can make it through this situation. He just has to believe. Very topical, perfect timing for him. After the match, he does his usual victory lap around the ring and hugging Xavier Woods, the defeated man, telling him that he can make it and someday he will be a champion if he just believes. I love this. Not just because he's on the Fantasy League team. This character is just hilarious. And it's one of the best comedy characters I think that they've pulled off in a long freaking time. Get your guys' thoughts on that. Drew?
You know what's going to be weird? What if, like, they actually have a character who believes and he does win a championship? That'd be something to take note of. And when it comes to Xavier Woods...
Woods...
Remix.
Whenever it comes to him, and how he has a beard now, maybe he got dropped out of college and he didn't get that PhD. So yeah, that's about it.
Okay,
great input.
Absolutely, wake up.
I'm loving the Bo Dallas character. Sometimes I kind of go meh some weeks, and then other weeks he pulls me back into it, and this is one of those weeks. Help that he didn't botch his fucking finisher this time too. Mm. I still think he needs to get a better move than that. I enjoy the pun. Listen, and I hope that's not the only reason he chose that move, because he couldn't think of a different pun for his finisher.
But do you know what his finisher move was before that?
I don't remember.
It was a belly-to-belly suplex.
All right, so
it's much better to have that.
Maybe a top rope move. I don't know.
You know what he needs? He needs a submission where he screams for the person to not give up.
The camel clutch.
He's right there. You can do it. Take it from Rusev.
But overall, I enjoyed the match, and I still love that he hugs his opponent and tells him that he don't worry, it's gonna be okay after it. I think it's just awesome. So I don't know how long he's got with his with this character. I don't know how long he can do it before it just becomes more of a jobber thing. I don't know how long it's gonna last. WWE tend to be really high on something and then just lose interest. So.
Oh, did I miss anybody in this match? I got Bo Dallas input. Tony, you got Bo Dallas input? Good.
One thing that I think that I heard, but I'm not 100% sure, so if I heard the wrong thing, correct me. I think he actually said to Xavier Woods that if he Bo leaves, he'd be a champion in life. Like, just in life in general. Not even just WWE. Just he'd be a champion for life or something.
Well, you know, you can't live without life.
Right. According to Hacksaw Jim Duggan. By the way, so excited about that finale. It's ridiculous. I'm fucking loving this character. This is so great. I am not getting tired of it whatsoever, and I hope that I don't end up getting tired of it. I hope that they keep this momentum going and they don't just kind of overbook themselves a little bit. Because Bo Dallas is doing such a fucking good job. This is one of the funniest characters that I've come across for years. And if they play their cards right, this could be even bigger than the Bad News Barrett situation. I think this could go pretty damn far.
Oh my gosh. Imagine like the eventual clash of them. Like Bo Leave, the super positive guy, against Bad News Barrett, the super negative guy.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
So that could be one of those feuds of the year kind of things. Because Bad News Barrett's going to have to turn babyface. And Bo Dallas.
And isn't that just appropriate, as you were saying before? Bo Dallas is like the positive guy and he's the heel. And Bad News Barrett would be the babyface.
Right.
And these comedy feuds can be really fun. I mean, MVP versus Matt Hardy was a comedy feud.
Oh, that was amazing. Golden.
And that, you're right, it has the potential to be one of those. Though, personally, I think, Graham, if you want to slot Bo Dallas into something like that, fucking having him feud with Sheamus to lead up to it would be fun. Because I think those two could have some good matches, and I'd be okay with putting the U.S. belt on him.
And think about it. When was the last time we had a meaningful mid-card feud? I can't even think of one.
Was that one time in 1999?
Yeah, I think the early 2000s was probably the last time we had a meaningful mid-card feud in the WWE.
I don't know if you count Charlotte versus Natalya.
That doesn't count. That's NXT.
Okay. Any other Bo comments you want to add?
Nope. I do. I haven't had a chance to say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miguel. Go ahead.
This was actually my first Bo Dallas matchup. I didn't see his debut. I don't really follow NXT too much. I've just heard what I've read. But this is my first time actually seeing the Bo Dallas character in action, and I'm all in. I think what makes me laugh the most is the potential for where they could take this character, because it's a simple character right now, but you can do so much more with it. I mean, you can have him come out with like an inspirational book with t-shirts. He can have his Bo Leavers, you know, he can have a tag team called the Bo Leavers, you know, like there's so much ridiculous potential to this character that I hope that they really do go all out with it. This is a time where I think WWE's indulgence really could be a positive if they just really just run with this character. But I don't know. Part of me thinks they're just going to give up on it, and he is going to kind of unfortunately fall into that jobber status. But let's see where it goes. But if, like I said, if it were me or any one of us, we would just run whole hog with it. And I definitely want to see that Bo Dallas inspirational book.
I think he needs to up the t-shirt and actually have his face on the front of it. And I don't mean like one of those like animated ones, but actually it's just a photo of his face. Just make it as obnoxious as possible.
Have you guys ever paid attention to his Titantron? Because it's glorious. It's got like the American Eagle, and it's got like the dove flying into hands, and like people running past finish lines and surfing, like right. All these inspirational images.
Like picking up a baby and smiling. And
the only thing that could make it better is just watching it if it had Sin Cara beating Del Rio on it.
Or if it had like a bouncing thing of his face cut out smiling all over it, like all this was making him smile.
I think it probably would have made Waco a lot happier if they had that image of Reigns spearing Rey Mysterio.
Makes Peyton happier if it's images of people throwing things.
Yeah, yeah. Running joke is running. Well, then we'll move on to Paul Heyman in the ring, captivating the crowd perfectly, saying that since they're in Minnesota, the home state of Brock Lesnar, why not bring out Brock Lesnar to celebrate the defeat of The Undertaker at WrestleMania? And so he introduces the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Tournament, or Battle Royal, Cesaro. Cesaro comes out still walking like he... I don't know how to describe this walk.
Ripped his pants.
I don't know, but I think though his pants are still too tight. They have not yet ripped. Like, he needs them to rip so he can have room to walk.
He walks like the old, like, No Mercy animation.
That's exactly. Like, the first time I had him on a TV, I was over at my friend's house, and they were like, are you playing a video game, or are you watching wrestling? I was like, no, it's just the actual show.
You're like, I don't
Why
know.
Is this guy watching? Yeah, I got confused for a second, because my PlayStation controller was probably next to me. I was watching it on the network, so.
I don't remember confused. Downloading emulator.
It what? Almost seems like instead of having shit in his pants, that he's got shit in his shoulders or something.
It's because he's got that puffy jacket.
Maybe. I don't know. This is the fucking most awkward. It makes Vince McMahon's walk look like there's nothing wrong with it.
You think, is it going to go from like just fucking weird to actually getting over with people though?
Well, no, I was just about to say, I kind of like it.
See, it's already working.
And you know what? I think I said this before. It actually kind of goes with his music, and it's making me like the music, which is the worst part about it.
That's terrible. That should not happen.
Anyway, Cesaro gets the victory in this matchup against Rob Van Dam with the Neutralizer, earning him a spot in the Money in the Bank matchup, making him my favorite of the people announced so far. Go around and get your guys' thoughts about that whole thing, though. Drew, why don't you start us off?
I didn't really care about the match. Yeah, it was an RVD match, and as high as I've been on him since he's returned, I'm kind of down in the dumps now. So yeah, this was a thing. I'm glad Cesaro got in the match, though. Out of everyone, if everyone else is a fucking bomb, at least we know that Cesaro has a chance of being a new champion. So yeah, that's good.
Cesarbo. Those bow jokes will never stop being funny. Miguel, why don't you follow up? What did you think about Cesaro's gaining access to the Money in the Bank matchup?
I'm surprised, honestly, because when I saw that it was Randy Orton, Alberto Del Rio, and Sheamus over Bad News Barrett and Dolph Ziggler, I was almost certain this was going to be another screw you, Smart Marks. I'm going to put a guy that you're not big fans of. We're going to put RVD in there and not put Cesaro in there. But they made the right decision. You know, they took a guy who is on a roll, who does have a strong fan base, and they put him in the Money in the Bank matchup. You know, like I said, they could have easily gone with the big name guy that, you know, the more in the know fans really aren't too keen on right now, but they decided to not do that, and I got to give WWE props for that.
All right, Wago.
That entrance is so fucking ridiculous. That's the main thing I take away from this. The match was an average television match. Nothing more to say than that. The right guy won. And Cesaro is my favorite going into it, too. But if the Shield go into it, I'm picking Seth Rollins. But for right now, Cesaro's my favorite.
Tony, round us out.
I'm going to pull an RVD here. I have three words in response to RVD not getting into this and Cesaro getting in. Thank fucking God.
The big guy.
The big guy.
Cesaro.
Shit.
Why isn't that a thing?
What?
What the big shit, Schultz?
Shit in your neck.
No, the whole Ryback thing. Why? That needs to be a thing.
That is a thing. It's exactly what he does.
It's a thing for us at the very least.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The big thing.
Big guy. Check out my suck hat.
That's going to be the next commercial break.
Minotaur.
Mega powers.
I like how Curtis Axel wears a Ryback hat, too.
He doesn't wear a shirt like Ryback, does he?
No. I think they have a Ryback-sel shirt.
Oh, they do?
I think they actually have like a Ryback-sel logo. It's like maybe it's a Ryback-sel sock hat.
Yeah. Well, you know how like Ryback cuts his shirt on the sides. So he's going, I got to pull this off. Now it can be used as a towel.
I bet they printed their own fucking shirts.
Well, someone will have to check WWEshop.com and see if the Ryback's shirt and hat are available for us. In the meantime, go ahead, Miguel.
I was going to say, that should be the next promo for NPR. Ha ha, it's Ryback. You're listening to Mega Powers Radio. Ha ha, Peyton.
Well, we'll put that in the memory bank of ideas. Our next match we have was a Divas match. Our champion Paige against Alicia Fox. Yeah, remember that chick that everyone thought was so awesome a few weeks ago and was like, yeah, this chick's going to win the title. She's so cool. I love this crazy chick thing she's doing. Yeah, this week she came out with Oksana by her side and got pinned when she collided with Oksana, allowing Paige to get her into the submission. It has a name now, right?
PTO, the Paige tap out, which is almost as bad as fucking Jason Jordan's move, the Jordan Slam.
Can we just fucking call it the Modified Scorpion Lock? It's better than that shit.
Hopefully they move on to that to something else eventually. But, yep, Paige getting the victory here. Alicia Fox looking like crap. I think all hope for her is done. She still kind of played this crazy chick thing after the match where she beat Oksana with some popcorn. This was stupid. It was by far the worst segment for Alicia Fox since she started doing this thing, and I thought they've all been pretty bad. Some of you have liked it, though, so I'm interested to hear where you think this character has gone. Tony?
I have liked it every time except for tonight. It ruined it tonight. That sucked. That was terrible. And they have really nobody set up to challenge Paige for the title at Money in the Bank. So that looks like they're probably just going to have another Alicia Fox match. And they've got no momentum going into it now. This was so stupid. And bringing Oksana into it, or bringing Oksana into anything, is certainly not going to help. So that really sucks, because Alicia was doing great.
True.
That I really, really, really did not like what Alicia Fox did. It turned me off big time. I don't know why. The match was stupid. You know, another Paige shitty match. Yeah, and then we had Alicia Fox fucking doing weird shit after the match. The popcorn thing, I was like, what? I thought she was like trying to like make her suffocate with her hand, and it was really confusing me because I wasn't really paying attention, because I knew it was only good when she was like interacting with the fans, pouring stuff on herself, giving people wedgies, tearing underwear in the process. That was funny. What she's doing now makes no fucking sense. You just look, it's just like someone who like just attacks someone after the match for no reason.
Wait,
at all.
So how is that different from any other weeks?
Let's see, did she go up to the announcer's table this time?
No, she went up to Oksana.
No, I meant like, well, I meant like interacting with people. She went and interacted with Oksana, and it was fucking stupid. And I think we were asking, why is Oksana going out there with her? And we
got
an answer.
That made no sense from the beginning.
Yeah, and now we got an answer, just so we could watch Alicia Fox feed her popcorn and not suffocate her, apparently. So yeah, that was the thing. And that was terrible. I hated every second of it.
Miguel?
I can't really say much about this because it's at this point that my brain just basically gave up and I fell asleep.
Cannot blame you.
Yeah, when I knew that we were getting another Paige versus Alicia matchup, my brain was like, yeah, screw this. It basically hit the kill switch at that point.
Gripa's on the radars in the chat room saying, bring back Bertha Faye.
She would have just eaten the popcorn.
That does bring up an interesting question, and I figure we could might as well throw it out to you guys. Who else could they slot into this feud with Paige aside from Alicia? You know, we talk about how they're kind of biding time because they really have nobody else. I mean, who would you guys book against her if you had the say?
Well, I'll go first on that. I think the two people that you could do, you could either try to get Emma a way of getting in there because you know that they can go out there and have a good matchup, but I would probably try to save that to later on. But at the same time, the other option I think would be good would be Charlotte and have a champion versus champion matchup. But that's something you might want to save for later on, too. But you don't really have too many other options. Those are two fallbacks that you could pull in any time. And this might be the time that you need to pull the trigger on something like that. But I'll go around to you guys, get what your thoughts on that are. Tony?
Natalya. Why? Because there's a good chance they could have a good match. And Natalya is boring. So just do it now before you need to do more complex things with Paige.
Drew?
Duh. Natalya. And also, did you know they don't sell Ryback's stuff on shop, but they do sell Primetime Players stuff still, and Team Hell No.
I told you they printed them themselves, the fucking losers.
Wago, who would you have face page?
Natalya, just to get a good match out of them and give something for Natalya to do. And to be quite frank, they should just fucking unify both the women's divisions and just have them wrestle all on NXT.
That would be for the best. Miguel, you asked the question, what would you do?
Well, let me just say, I don't think that they should unify the divisions. I think they should keep the NXT's women division completely away from the main event, the main roster division, because...
Yeah, but the best match that they've had was a fucking WWE Diva versus an NXT Diva, so...
I understand that, but the NXT women's roster is doing so well on their own, I think it would actually be a detriment to them to bring down, to combine them with the main roster. I think the stuff you're getting on NXT, from what I've heard, is some of the best stuff that's happened in any sort of women's division in WWE. So I think for their sake, I would probably just keep them still separate. In terms of people on the roster right now, I guess I would have to go with Natalya, only because I think it would still be a lame duck feud, but at least we would get better matches out of it. And it would really help to put Paige over, because I think right now having her have to carry Alicia Fox through these matches is not it's more of a detriment to her. In terms of people that they could get, I hate to say this because it makes me sound like an indie smark, but they really need to throw as much money as possible and bring AJ back. I think that is going to be the big marquee matchup that I think is going to get people's attention: a returning AJ against the Paige.
But that's something you got to build. I think that's got to be a bigger show. You can't just throw that together in a few weeks for a random Money in the Bank.
No, I understand that. That could easily be a SummerSlam matchup, honestly.
Oh, yes. Okay, SummerSlam, that makes total sense. Well, let's move on to the last segment we got to talk about here. Let's make this quick, so I don't think we're going to have too much to say. Jack Swagger versus Santino Marella. Zeb ends up doing this thing where he's slapping Jack Swagger, causing him to pick up lots of energy and go on to win his matches. As I was saying before, I think this is a potential babyface turn for Jack Swagger. I don't know what event he'll do to make him go onto that role, but that's what I'm seeing in his future. Anything you guys want to add to that?
America.
Fuck yeah.
Slap in the face, bitch.
All right, well, we got a little bit over 8 minutes, so we're going to rush into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show was, the worst part of the show, and what the most embarrassing part of the show was, in our opinion. So let's go around, ask everyone, start off with Tony. What was your good, bad, and ugly?
Good goes to Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns for that promo. Bad goes to the whole situation of Daniel Bryan being stripped from the title and WWE not really having anything as a backup plan. And the ugly, which could go to a lot of different stuff here, is going to go to the popcorn segment.
Absolutely. Wago?
The good is the Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns segment. Those guys delivered tonight, and I'm glad that people are waking back up to Dean Ambrose and not so down on him. As far as the bad goes, it's going to be the main event, and worst main event of any show this year, and we've had some really good wrestling, so it's a shame that we got fucking let down tonight. And the ugly, Alicia Fox, stop it.
Woof. Bad Fox.
We're mech on head.
Drew, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good would be the Sheamus and Wade Barrett match. I thought that was good. The bad would be the fact that there, for the past like 5 Raws, there's been only one thing to remember, and the rest of the show kind of like sucks, and you don't remember anything. And that trend continued tonight, and yeah, that sucked. And then the ugly, you know, it's hard to give it to anything else but the Alicia Fox thing, so I'm gonna just give it to Alicia Fox. You gotta be Foxy, girl. You can't just do this shit and not expect people to not like it. You gotta be like it. Yeah,
and Miguel.
Good was the Ambrose and Roman Reigns segment with 3MB, that whole segment including the promo. Bad, I'd probably say the main event, just because it's unfortunate that we have to put an actual Shield matchup in the bad category, but I don't think anybody has had anything positive to say about that. And the ugly would be Damian Sandow. I'm just, that was terrible.
It's hard to argue. Pull one out of the chat real quick. JT77 saying, good was Bo Dallas, bad was Seth Rollins' promo, the ugly was the Cena with the Shield main event. Real quick, my good, bad, and ugly. My good, I am actually also going to go ahead and give to Bo Dallas. A lot of people shouting out the Shield's promo, which was excellent, but you know what? Bo Dallas, I think, was on his A-game tonight, and I want to be a person to also give him a little bit of shout-out for that. My bad, absolutely, the main event, god-awful. We've already run it down enough. My ugly, I will also back up the Alicia Fox. Terrible, and if someone walked into the room, I would not know how to explain it. It's like, yeah, this is who my friends like. This chick, they all think this chick's really cool.
No, I'm just waiting for Chris Lino's best, honest.
All right, guys, we got one last bit of business here. We got 5 minutes to do it, so quick plugs. Drew, start us off, bro.
Well, if you're into sports, on Thursday nights at 9, we do a show called Sports Talk Weekly here on Mega Powers Radio, where you would see Chris Jester as a host, an occasional guest here, and on Smack Talk. And that's about it. Drew Crew for Life and Tony Tykes suck. Especially now.
Yeah, they're doing pretty bad. But your team ain't doing so good, Mr. Lost 100 points.
No. They're counting back. They did good tonight. Thank you.
Quick plug. Shut up, Drew.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that our schedules have to cross because while everybody's going to be enjoying the NPR 1 year anniversary, I'm unfortunately going to be doing what I do on Tuesday nights. No, not that, you weirdos. I'm going to be doing the Untitled Movie Show, which is my show on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. This week, we're going to be discussing studio interference in movies, you know, basically what we don't see backstage with movies that leads to some of the worst films ever made. We're going to talk about that. And in case I'm not here next week for the NPR post show, for next week's NPR post show, the same week as the 1 year anniversary, while that's going on, I'll be doing a retrospective on one of my favorite franchises, the Rocky franchise. So check out this week's episode of the Untitled Movie Show, 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, if you want to bounce between this and the other show, it's going to be the same thing next week as well. So check us out, guys.
It'll be just like the old days of swapping between WWE and WCW.
We're coming for you, nigga.
Wago.
All right. For all your MMA action, check out UDMMA.com, Facebook.com/UDMMA, and Twitter.com/UDMMA. Also, be sure to check out Addicted to Anime, as we're going to be reviewing Cowboy Bebop. More information on that, just go to Facebook.com/AddictedAnimeFans to get all your info.
And Tony.
SmarkOutMoment.com for all your wrestling kind of stuff, including the Hottest Divas Tournament. Vote on who you think is the sexiest woman in wrestling right now. Podcast is Smack Talk, which you can find on youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. Go check me out on Bleacher Report and other A Mango Tree things like Fanboys Anonymous and whatnot on Facebook and twitter.com/AMangoTree and /TonyMango.
All right, folks, you know the deal. We appreciate y'all tuning in. If you had a good time, please join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw. We're here. MegaPowersRadio.com is the place. We got the phone lines chat room open all the time. We love hearing your guys' opinions. But if for any reason you can't be here for the live show, we are archived on SmarkOutMoment.com, also on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube. Just search for the Raw post show. It'll be easy to find. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on all those places. Got a frog in my throat here. Trying to rush to get these plugs. Also join our official Facebook group, facebook.com/group/TheMegaManiacs. We're always talking about all the fun things throughout the week. And for that, I'm going to leave you guys. For Drew White, for Miguel Leon, for Tony Mango, for Stephen Fuego, I am Mike Payton. And we'll see y'all next time here on the NPR Raw Post Show. Thanks for enjoying another awesome program by Mega Powers Radio. I'm Mike Payton, owner of the station, and I wanted to tell you that Mega Powers Radio is soon celebrating its 1 year anniversary, and we want you to share the fun with us. It all takes place this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hosts from across the entire collective will be on hand for jokes, games, a few special surprises, and as always, we'll be welcoming your calls on the air as well. So, don't miss this once-in-a-year chance to hear all your favorite Mega Powers Radio hosts as you've never heard them before. It all goes down this Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. That's Tuesday, June 17th at 9 p.m. Don't be a lemon, be there.